Okay, good morning. Ooh, my goodness. Let's see. Well, you know, you can always tell when the weather drops a little bit. Christians, they get wet, and they sit soaked, get cold, they can't get out. But old drunks, man, they can make it to the bar. They don't care how it is. They'll make it. So, but Christians, they got to be very careful. So, glad y'all made it out. And let's see, is it supposed to get worse through the rest of the day? Yeah, okay. And hurry! Okay. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to where we are and why we're here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to assemble ourselves with other believers who are like-minded for the purpose of opening the text, studying it, seeing what you have to say to us, Heavenly Father, through your Spirit. We pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, in the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's begin this morning with singing 388, page 388. It's amazing. This week was, what, close to 80? And now look at it out there. So, Larry, what does this do to next week if it's contingent? I mean, weather, you know, if it's real bad. Okay, good. Good. They'll still fix it.
Thank you.
Okay. 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 Very good. All right. Okay. Okay, Jerry and I will each bring a gallon of Bluebell. Okay, good. All right, so that will be next Sunday. So, Steve, you got a beard to help us put at the tables. okay, and we're going to have to be having a congregational meeting on whether we want to renew the lease from here. And please remember, be looking around. There might be some place that will be maybe even more space for less money. And we've calculated it's about $2,100 per month. And then we pay utilities, right, Jim? Another couple of hundred, so about $2,300. And so please bear that in mind. Yes?
One other question while we're looking. What is the approximate
square footage
here?
The space?
Yeah, that we have now.
Okay. Jim, do you know that? I know Langston knows it. You know what? I'm sorry. About 1500, yes. So, you know, what's unfortunate is that we need it only really now, just Wednesday and Sunday morning, and yet we have to have it where we can leave the units all set up and the piano. So, but anyway, that's in a classroom. So, yeah, we need that if possible. So, okay, so just bear that in mind, and we'll keep tabs on that to let Tony know what we're going to do about our lease agreement here. Okay, let's talk about prayer. Yesterday we had the memorial to Lonnie Thompson, Tisha's brother, and Leslie's uncle, and so everything went very well with that. It was in Noble, Oklahoma. And that went well. Now, in regard to prayer, I talked to John Hintz this morning, and Judy Hintz has taken a relapse back into what she had, the flu or the whatever it was. So please be in prayer for Judy at this time. And John, not really heard how Dan's doing, or Joe, so just continue to be in prayer for them. And let's see, are there any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes. Yes. Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Transfer? Transplant. Okay. Okay. All right. Can accept a new one. Oh, you donated one. Okay. All right. Okay. And her first name again? Val. Val. Okay. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of at this time? Yes. Dan and Pat were both. I mean, Dan is doing better. Okay, good. And Joe. Okay. Good. All right. So that's good news. Just continue to be in prayer as a minister in Africa. And just be in prayer for each other. Paul admonishes us to be in prayer for one another, those that are in the battle, those that are in the conflict. Yes, we want to pray for unbelievers. Yes, we want to pray for those struggling through life. But Paul makes it very clear. Be in prayer for those that are in the battle, those that are trying to walk by faith in the Spirit and glorify Jesus Christ in walking by faith in the Spirit. A little special request that I have, and that is a prayer for Romeo and Lila's son. He's just finished the medical. Okay. So we need to be in prayer. The way they work it there is that the government has been giving him just expenses. No money. He can't make any money. And then, but now where he is, and it's just been cut off, now he can start making a few shekels, but there's that time frame when there's no money coming in and at all. So let's be in prayer for, what's his abbreviated first name? Okay. Let's be in prayer and just that God's will be done in his life. Okay, I talked to him this week. Yes. Okay. God knows who. Oh, me. Oh. Jim Passmore and I can always use your prayer, right? Right? Oh. Jim and I are about the same age, and if we'd known we were going to live this long, we'd have probably taken a lot better care of ourselves, and then again, probably not. And thank you very much. Okay. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver, first of all, is one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior, by faith alone in Christ alone, but not just that. It's also to know how to be filled with the Spirit. Paul says, if I give everything that I own to the poor so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you do not know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then your giving is fruitless as far as your spiritual life is concerned. So it's not only for the born-again believer, it's a family issue, the offering. But it's also for the believer who knows how to walk by faith in the Spirit, be led of the Spirit in regard to giving. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, as we enter this new year, as man calculates time, we continue to petition, Father, that you will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believers. Through the personal impact right here in this assembly with each other, through the internet, tapes, discs, conferences, publications, all the ways that you've seen fit to use this humble assembly. And Father, we pray that as apparently more and more people around now the world listening to our teaching of our various subjects, books, that your Spirit will take these lessons, these truths from your Word, Father, and open eyes of people. They will understand this text, understand this Word. Father, we thank you so much for using this assembly. We thank you for the freedom of this country, the political, economic freedom that we enjoy to worship. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the men and women who provided us with this freedom and who are in harm's way this very hour. But Father, we are most thankful for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection in providing us with spiritual freedom to have eyes to see how to use our political, economic freedom, where to live and where to go to church and why. To do with our lives and why. How to love as Christ loved. Father, we pray you will continue to use this assembly. We pray that you will receive these offerings now that we give. that you will use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let them in. I don't know who planned and plotted all those pictures that are out there. But my wife does. She just went, shook her head. And one was where I'm this last summer waving my hat. And I showed her one, the other one that's there back in 1974 when I graduated from Dallas Seminary. And a good friend of mine, David Chavon, who's now home with the Lord, went to his ranch. And there I am waving the hat. And it just never changes. And I showed her a picture of when I was about, I think I was about 10, maybe even 8 or 10, somewhere in there. And I had on a suit. And I had my cuff. I was showing off my cufflinks. I made sure that the camera got my cufflinks in there. And I don't know where all that stuff comes from. But I know she has some ideas. But anyway... Okay, Romans chapter 4. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Make our way through some verses this morning. If we can make it through chapter 4 and get on to chapter 5. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this text is supernatural. It cannot be understood in the flesh, and we know that. Oh, we can learn things in the human realm like Shakespeare or some other writings, but to grasp this book demands the work of the Holy Spirit. So we pray your Spirit will open our eyes now to the things you would have us to see when he inspired the writers, the Paul, to write this chapter, preserved this chapter through history, made it part of the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. But now, Father, we pray that he will illuminate these things to us personally and individually. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, what we're looking at in chapter 4. It's been about 4 weeks now. We took 3 weeks to do a little Christmas time looking at Jesus Christ's names in the Old Testament, by which he is known in the New Testament. But chapter 4 is the importance of knowing the Bible. People, it is the importance of knowing the history of the Bible, but not just in knowing it, understanding it. You could read the Abrahamic covenant and miss the whole thing that Paul is pointing out here. And what we're dealing with is that very important statement in the first book written in the Bible, the book of Job, where does God pervert his justice? Does God pervert what is right? And what he's dealing with is, does God save us? Does God restore us from sin? Does God bless us because of the way what we do? Because we're good, because we're moral, because we go to church, because we give money, because we sing? Or does he do it strictly by faith? By grace through faith. And that's what Paul is doing all in chapter 4. It really doesn't, I think in a way, we spend too much time on it, but it's an historic chapter. It's not really a doctrinal chapter, it's a historical chapter dealing with the history so that we can learn from it. If we look at how Abraham was saved, how Abraham was blessed, apart from the law wasn't even given yet, apart from any doing anything, just by faith, then that sets the standard for us. Sets the standard for all the Jews, and sets the standard for all the believers in the church. And verses 1 through 8, Paul has pointed out that Abraham received righteousness apart from works. Apart from works. Verse 2. But if Abraham was justified by works, so it goes through to verse 8 dealing with the works. Then he says Abraham was imputed righteousness apart from circumcision. And if you look at verse 9, it says, is this blessing then on the circumcised? So he deals with that. And that really may not have an impact for us, but if you understand circumcision as any performance system, we don't, in the church, emphasize circumcision. The Jews still do, but we don't. But we can understand this as a performance system. And he carries that discussion through verse 12. Now, verses 13 through 15, Abraham received the imputation of perfect righteousness apart from the law. So he did it apart from works, apart from a performance system, apart from the law. All right, let's take a look. Verse 13, where we left off. For not through the law is that promise to Abraham or to his seed that he will be heir of the world. The promise is that he would be heir. And it is not according to the law. Look at the last phrase. But through the righteousness of faith. These promises of the Abrahamic covenant, we've already taken time, noted this is an unconditional covenant. Unconditional means only God. It's not conditioned on anything that Abraham does or that we do. Our part is simple faith, which is non-meritorious. And we noted three aspects. It included, one, a people. Two, a blessing to the world. And three, the land. These are in focus when he says, when it says in verse 13, for not through the law is he given the people, the blessings to the world, or the land. Not through the law. See, the Mosaic law had not even been given. Abraham precedes the Mosaic law, maybe by some 500 years, give or take a little bit, depending on a conservative estimation. But if we estimate Abraham around 2000 BC, Moses around 1500 BC, just rounding it off for things. So this was long before the law was ever given. The Mosaic law not even given at the time of Exodus 6. So there's no way that you can keep the law for the blessings from God. No way you can be good for the blessings from God. There is no system of legalism. And yet in the churches in America today, the churches reap with legalism. And one reason is because preachers see all of the immorality in the church. And well, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to control them with the law. No, that's the whole thing. The law increases sin. The law doesn't decrease sin, it increases sin. Bible says so. Let's try the work of the Holy Spirit. So, now, what they've done, the whole reason why the law was given, people, you want to understand why God gave the Abrahamic covenant and why God gave the Mosaic law. Got to understand why. He gave the Abrahamic covenant to show His grace and His love. Why did He give the Mosaic Law? Why did God give the Mosaic Law? He gave the Mosaic Law because they rejected just doing it by grace through faith. And so He said, okay, you don't want it that way? Work for it. Here's what you got to do. If you break one of them, you're guilty of the whole thing. So this whole thing is a good reading of the Isaiah 28 that we spent a great deal of time on. So the word of the Lord, that's the gospel, will become do and do, rule on rule, a little here and a little there. Is that the gospel? No. But if you don't want the gospel by grace through faith, then when you open the text, that's what you're going to see. And that's what happened. You look at the Abrahamic covenant, by grace, through faith. You don't want that? Then here's the Mosaic law. Try to take the land by being good of the law, being good with the law. So verse 13, for not through the law is that promise to Abraham or to the seed that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness of faith. The adversative conjunction translated but through the righteousness of faith is the Greek ah. And this sets up a strong contrast between trying to get something from God by doing, by being good, by being legalistic and all, by living by the law, and getting it simply by grace through faith. These are two extremely contrasting systems. And that's what that Allah does. It comes, but, not through the law, but. So, We have a contrast. Then we have the preposition. See that word through? It's a preposition dia plus the genitive of dikaiosune, referring to the righteousness of God. And we have seen from the 10 questions of Job, first book given to us, most essential thing, first thing God wanted us to know, you've got to have my righteousness. How do you get the righteousness of God? That's the great issue. So, through the righteousness, this is the great issue. As an unbeliever, we've got to have the righteousness of God. As a believer, we've got to have the righteousness of God experientially. Experientially. Through righteousness. Righteousness imputed from God. And look what it says. Through faith. Not by doing, not by being good, not by obeying the law, not by being moral, but through faith. These are the two great contrasts. Receiving the righteousness of God as an unbeliever or as a believer. You got one of two ways. One by grace through faith, and the other by works. And the one by works will not work. It will not produce it. So over and over is this dia plus the ablative singular of pistis through faith. Faith is the way that we receive from God. Yet people, multitudes throughout the church age, and especially today, are still trying to work for it, be good for it, earn it. As clear as these verses are, couldn't make it any clearer. Pistis, faith. Used here to indicate the mechanics of salvation, of spirituality, of receiving any and every blessing from God. So be sure you understand that faith exercised by the unbeliever is all that God is looking for. Faith in the one that he has sent. Now, the promise to Abraham was not made on the basis of the law. There was no law. It's not made on the basis of the law. Not made on the basis of obedience to the law. There was no law. But by means of faith. Faith in what? The coming Messiah. Abraham was credited with righteousness. For not through the law is, let's go to the next one. For not through the law is that promise to Abraham or to his seed that he will be heir of the world, but, contrast system, through imputed righteousness by means of faith in the coming Messiah. Always remember, is your faith the faith God is looking for? Not only is it faith, is it the faith God is looking for? See, everybody says they're doing faith. I believe that if I do this, God will bless me. That's not the faith he's looking for. He's looking for a faith in a member of the Godhead. Remember that faith is a relationship word between the creature and the Creator. Whereas love is a relationship word between humans, faith is a relationship word between the creature and the Creator. In other words, all we can offer God is an empty hand of faith, and there is the unity. And that's all that he can receive. We learn this right from the beginning. Cain went up and he offered God his best. Offered God the very best of his works. God said, I don't want your best. I want what I offer. I want what I supply. So it is the faith that opens the door for all blessings in life. Divine blessings. If you want to receive a blessing from God, you've got to know how to receive them and where they start. Let's note a few points. One, so I can summarize and move on. All blessings from God begin at the cross. They do not begin with you. They do not begin with how good or bad you are. They begin at the cross. And to the individual, they begin only when we believe in Jesus Christ. That's where the blessings of God begin. They begin at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. Learn from that. Well, wait a minute now. How was I first blessed by God? By faith in Jesus Christ. I was blessed with eternal life. There's your pattern. There's your pattern. Point two. Only those who possess God's perfect righteousness, so you got to know how to do that, Only those who possess God's perfect righteousness receive future blessings from God. Now, people, I'm not talking about blessings of life. I'm not talking about that you're blessed being. See, Jim Passmore, we think it's blessed. Good grief, where is his soul now? I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about direct blessings from God. Like salvation. Like being restored to the Holy Spirit after we sin. Like blessings in the spiritual life. So, point two. Only those who possess God's righteousness receive further blessings from God. This doesn't talk about blessings that come to everyone, like our daily food, and certainly we give thanks for that. But let's think about it. Even the rascals get daily food. Sometimes they eat a lot better than we do. But nevertheless, I'm talking about blessings that are directly related with the spiritual warfare. I'm talking about blessings that are specifically given to us to glorification of Jesus Christ. I'm not even talking about the blessing of the forgiveness of sins. Every unbeliever is forgiven of sins by the work of Christ on the cross. We're born into the world forgiven of sins. That's why sins are not the issue at the great white throne judgment. They're taken care of. But when you want to specifically receive the personal impact of that, faith in Jesus Christ. Point three. Justification occurs only at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ and is a result of the imputation of God's righteousness. You, first of all, your faith in Jesus Christ, imputed righteousness, justified. God looks at the imputed righteousness. That's what I'm looking for. Not the righteousness of works, but the righteousness that I give to them by faith, and says justified. So that is the justification. Point four. The divine order of blessings. The incarnation, the Christmas story. Death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ. Then faith in Jesus Christ. Then the imputation of perfect righteousness. Followed by justification. Now you're ready for blessings from God. Especially if you walk, yes. Especially if you walk by faith in the Christ. Martha, for you, I'll be happy to. Point four. Divine order of blessings. The incarnation, Christmas story, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session. I guess for, 40, 50 years, whenever I write that, I put DBRAS. D-B-R-A-S. And my mind sees that, and it's like it's a word. Death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ. Then faith in Jesus Christ. Followed by the imputation of God's righteousness, just because we believed in Christ. Followed by justification. He sees his imputed righteousness. He justifies. Then the flow of blessings in life. Especially for those who walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go read verses 13 and 14. Ready for 14 now. For not through the law is that promised to Abraham or to his seed that he would be heir of the world. So they got a people in the, and a blessing in the land, we noted. But through imputed righteousness that comes by means of faith. Verse 14. For if those who are of the law, those who obey the law, are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is nullified. Wow. This goes back to Job chapter 8, verse 3. Let me read it to you. We've looked at it many times. Job 8:3, one of the most important passages in the Bible. Does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? That's fundamental to the whole Bible, to the whole plan of salvation, spirituality, blessings, and life. If God justifies anyone on the basis of their works, even of the law, he would pervert his own justice. He would pervert his own righteousness. I guess this is the most difficult thing in the world for just the ordinary person to grasp. Well, God is love. Why doesn't he just save everybody? I mean, that's the kind of God I want. It'll just save us no matter what we do, no matter who we are. I'm going to tell you something, he does. It has nothing to do with what you do. It's to do with faith in Christ. But see, this ordinary person doesn't understand the love of God. Love is providing a way where he can save everyone without corrupting his own essence. That's vital. If God just saves everyone without the cross and any other means other than faith in Jesus Christ, he's perverted his own justice. And what kind of God is that? So the Job 8:3 really deserves an hour this morning, but we don't have an hour to give it. But does God pervert justice? God, I want you to do this even... See, let me give you just a humorous, silly idea. Now, God, I haven't studied one lick for this test. I haven't opened my textbook. Help me through it. Help me make an A or a B or at least a D. See? It's not the way God works. So God save me even though I haven't believed in your son Jesus. No, I can't do that. Out of my love I sent Jesus so that I could save you. See, that's what's important. Out of my love, that's what I did. You want to talk about the loving God? I sent my son. And then I made it very simple. All you got to do is trust. No works of the law. Okay, verse 14. For if those who are of the law are heirs. Now, I don't want to get bogged down, but this is a Bible study church. So let me just go through this rather quickly. We have a protasis, P-R-O-T-A-S-I-S, and an apodosis, A-P-O-D-O-S-I-S. And if you want to understand all of the logic and thinking about the apodosis and apodosis, see Phil McMillan after class up front, and he will sit down and take you through the whole thing. This is a part of what he teaches in school. Now, the protasis is the if clause. If this, where the condition is made, the apodosis is the inference from the if clause, from the protasis. So putting it another way, the protasis sets up a condition, the apodosis extracts based upon that condition. So let's take a look at what we have here now. For if those who are of the law are heirs, that's the protasis. Paul puts forth this erroneous condition. Now the apodosis. If that's true, here's what can be extracted from that. Faith is made void, and the promise is nullified. This is what the false condition would lead to, which is blasphemous against God. Totally blasphemous. People want to be very careful with God. Let me be very careful. I know people are so careful. Boy, they want to walk that straight and narrow, but they blaspheme him by thinking, well, he's going to accept and make and bless me because of that. You should take more attention on your view of God and not blaspheming God than you are on walking by the law. Because when you say, if I walk by the law and God's going to bless me, you've just blasphemed God. Take more concern for your understanding of God. That's why I often say, what is your view of God? That's fundamental. For if those who are of the law are heirs, this refers to those who are working by the law, doing the law for salvation, spirituality, or blessings in life. So this does not only refer to the Jews, but to everyone. Some of my pastor friends, and they don't understand why. I just don't get all upset. Oh, well, they won't let them put the Ten Commandments in front of this courthouse or in a school. Hey, let's put the Divine Nine. Let's put the fruit of the Spirit. Let's get our young people to live by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They live by the law, they're going to increase their sin. Live by the fruit of the Spirit and you glorify Christ. See? Got to understand why he gave the Mosaic Law. What's the purpose of the law? Why did it even come about? So this becomes so important in understanding these things. What Paul is doing in this process is presenting a position of the Jews at the time of Paul's writing and before and even today in order to refute their position. Their position is they have the law and they keep the law, therefore they're heirs of the Abrahamic promises. No, they're not. For if those who are of the law are heirs, those who have the law are heirs. That's what he's saying. Preposition is ek, out, from the law. Since this is an ablative of means, by means of the law, by means of keeping the law, as if they could. I think one of the classic examples here is the rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ and he said, how can I inherit the kingdom of heaven by the law? That's what he was asking. Christ said, okay, you want the kingdom of heaven, keep the whole law. Is that the truth? No. Is that the truth from where he was asking? Yes. He was asking, how can I do it by the law? Here's the law, and I believe it's by the law. So if it's by the law, how can I enter the kingdom of heaven? Keep the whole law. I do that. Oh, you do? You do? How about giving everything you own to feed the poor? And what did he do? He walked away stumbling, crying, falling backward. I believe that man came to grace. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven. Because of the Isaiah 28, stumble, fall backward, be taken snare when you try to do it by law. Then you're ready. Then you're ready. Come to me that are weary and heavy laden. Who are the weary and heavy laden? Those that have been working. Working, working, trying to get it. Trying to work for it. Heavy laden. It just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Come to me. My yoke is light. It's by faith alone. Okay. Now the hypothesis. Faith is made void and the promise is nullified. Wow. Why are these two statements made if it comes by law? First deals with faith, then with the promise. First, faith. Faith here is with the definite article, the faith. Now why does he say the faith? Not just faith. People, it's the faith that he's looking for that's an important issue. Is your faith the faith God is looking for? He's not looking for, I believe that if I do this, God will save me, God will bless me, God will restore me of sin, God will bless me in some way in life. That's not the faith he's looking for. He's looking for a faith in him, a faith in the one that he sent. I believe in your Son for salvation. I believe in your Spirit for spirituality. See? That's the faith he's looking for. So the faith is very important here. It's with a definite article in the Greek. The faith. See? Specifies the faith that God is looking for. A lot of people would contend that they do in faith. But is their faith the faith God is looking for, people? This morning in the 9:30, we studied the new commandment, to love one another as Christ loved. Is your love the love God is looking for? If it's anything in the energy of the flesh, it's not the love he's looking for. Because the love that Christ loved with is supernatural. It's not talking about physical love. So we have to know, is it the faith God is looking for? Is it the love God is looking for? Not just is it love. God doesn't want just any love, sloppy love. God is looking for a love that is poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. So this becomes a great issue. So first of all, the faith. They are doing faith, but it's not the faith God is looking for. See, they trust God. If I keep the law, if I have the law, and basically live my life by the law, then God will bless me. The Abrahamic covenant. Wrong. That's not the faith he is looking for. So, their faith is not the faith that God is wanting. The faith that God is looking for is a faith in the member of the Godhead. This is the faith. Now look at the next phrase. Is made void. Perfect passive indicative. And more is the Greek here important. Perfect passive indicative of kenoo. K-E-N-O, long O. To make empty. To render void. To falsify. To make void. Perfect tense here. Has been made void. And with the present result, it stays in a condition of being made void. Once you decide that the system is by works of the law, faith received being made void, and it stays being made void. Passive voice is what I like here, is that faith receives being made void if it's by works of the law. You say you're going to earn something from God, you just chopped off the grace of faith. So the passive voice, subject receives the action of the verb. Faith here is the subject. It receives the action of the verb. It receives being made void to giving any of the blessings, any of the promises to Abraham. When you try to earn something from God by what you do, and God allows this, it causes faith to receive being made void, being made empty. And see, this is important because a lot of people like to, oh, I do faith, I do works, I do. No, 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 you don't get to, people, you don't get to stand on two mountains. You're not the Jolly Green Giant. You can't have 1 foot on Mount Sinai and 1 foot on Mount Zion. You can't do that. You're not the Jolly Green Giant. You're either going to stand on Mount Sinai, the law, or Mount Zion, the cross. One or the other. You don't get to do both. You stand on one, you cut off the other. You stand on Mount Sinai, you cut off Mount Zion. Stand on Mount Zion, you cut off Mount Sinai. Cut off the law. It's that simple. You can't have both. You can't have your cake and eat it both. And I always say, well, what's the good of cake then? See? But you can't do this with God. It is the law instead of Jesus Christ. Then therefore, you have cut off faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void. What does this basically mean in common sense words? No benefit before God. It's the best way I know how to say it. No benefit before God. Let's see if we can make this impressionable. If those who do not do any performance, those who do any performance are saved or are filled with the Spirit, faith and grace are out the window. They're made void. If those who repent, invite Jesus into their heart, make him Lord, all of these things, and then are saved, throw faith out the window. Those are active verbs, and you did something. If a believer confesses, repents, feels sorry for his sins and all this, and God fills him with the Spirit, throw grace and faith out the window. Going to be by works. And then he says, and the promise is nullified. All the promises of the Abrahamic covenant, including justification by faith, nullified. Perfect passive indicative again. Perfect passive indicative. Katargeo. K-A-T-A-R-G-E-O. Katargeo. That means to cancel. It means to abrogate. Means to nullify. Perfect tense again. Dogmatic conclusion based on the presupposition that it's by faith. That it's by works of the law. Passive voice. Promise receives being nullified. Why? Because you said it could be by works. Okay, in closing, let's note a summary. Point one. There are two systems in verse 14. Two systems that have been in operation since the fall of Adam and Eve. System of works and the law, or the system of faith. System of grace by faith. With God, only faith causes God to impute righteousness. You should learn this right from the beginning with Adam and Eve. They tried to work without the law. What did they do? What did they do? They went, they walked around. There are three significant trees in the garden. Three significant trees. One's the tree of life. That's God's tree. One is the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil. That's Satan's tree. One is the fig tree. That's man's tree. That's the works tree. And boy, it's beautiful how God plays this out all the way through the Bible now. They sinned. What should they have done? They should have hot-footed it, ran as quickly as they could, made a straight line to the tree of life. What did they do? They went around the tree of life, as it were, and went to the fig tree. I'm going to work for God. I'm going to sew me some clothes. Going to make me some wardrobe out of fig leaves and type thing, whatever kind of tree it was. Going to make me a fig tree leaf, and boy, I'm going to fix it up, and God's going to be so pleased with me. He's going to look at me and say, oh, you look so good. I like your design. No. God ripped it off and clothed them with the righteousness of the Lamb crucified, the Lamb slain. Right from the beginning, we should have learned it. They did eat of the tree of life, but not right away. First they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I can think right. I got it now. No, you don't. Now your thinking is all messed up. You think you know right and wrong, but you don't. Then they went to the fig tree. First they ate of the forbidden tree. Then they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then they ate of the fig tree. Finally, they got around to God's tree. And I have to tell you something, they're probably the same thing I'd have done. I'd have tried it all. The wise person, gone straight to the tree of life. See, that's the whole deal here. There are two systems, faith and works, grace and the law. And they've been played out all the way through the Bible. Every religion of the world is built on man being good, man doing good. The Islamic faith has their own system of what is good. The Buddhists, the Hindus, on and on and on. They all the religions got to do and do and do. Christianity is the only one where God does everything for man. Everything. God forgives of sins. Even if man doesn't want it. Forgiven of sins by the work of Christ on the cross. And man still says, no, I want to work. I want to work. Best funny example I can give is crossing of the Red Sea. Dead Sea, and going across there. And boy, there it is, dry land. Just walk straight across. Somebody says, no, I'm going to swim across for Jesus. I'm going to just jump right in that water, and I'm swimming across. And as funny as that sounds, that's how a lot of Christians try to live. That's how a lot of people live. I'm not taking that straight and easy little way there. That's too easy. I want to work for it. And you'll never make it. You'll never make it. Well, let's get point two. Point one, two systems in verse 14. System of works and the system of grace through faith. Two, works and grace are mutually exclusive. Works and grace are mutually exclusive. Faith and any works are mutually exclusive. Legalism and grace are mutually exclusive. Legalism and faith are mutually exclusive. And when I say faith, I'm talking about the faith that God is looking for. Because the legalists have faith. They believe that if they live by their legalism, God will bless them. So it's the faith that God is looking for. Works and grace, mutually exclusive. Legalism and grace cannot coexist before God. If you try to be saved by doing anything, you cancel out grace and faith. So that's the whole system with God. So you get to pick which one you want to do. So this is a quick summary in verse 13. And we'll resume here next Sunday morning. And I do want to make a little bit faster run, at least pick it up to a slow walk, and if we can get through chapter 4 and get into chapter 5. All right, any questions? Martha, any questions? I love you. You're the only one that'll just blare it out there. Let it go. There's no such thing. If we know what now? Do we know that? Yeah. Do we know that? Yeah. It's in the Bible. Oh, okay. Well, we do not know what the tree that they ate from, the forbidden tree. It's always historically the apple tree. That's historical. That's not in the Bible. The fig tree is a fig tree, and it's played all the way through the Bible. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we do not know what the fruit was. I suspect that it was asparagus. And oh, it's not a tree. All right. We just know there was a tree. They ate of it, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the fig tree, and the tree of life is the cross. The tree of life is the cross. I look at him and go, I don't need to know. Yes, sir. Yes. 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 It's the knowledge of Satan. Yes. Yes. That's what I've tried to say. Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. And I love questions. I love questions. I sent just a few people a Christmas card I found at Hallmark, and it had a picture of a church, and a little girl looked up at her mama, and it was a Christmas card, and the preacher was out there preaching, and she goes, "What's a virgin?" And everybody's running, ah! And I sent it to John Henson. I said, "See, that's why I don't like questions in church." And, okay, let's close in prayer. I thought it was funny. Let's close in prayer. Yeah. Heavenly Father, first of all, we praise you for your own consistency. We praise you that you're the same. Your essence is always the same. You never change. It has always been by grace through faith and will always be by grace through faith. We praise you. And then, Heavenly Father, we praise you for sending to us your grace gift, your Son. We thank you and we praise you, Father, for giving to each of us a measure of faith that we can either use or not use. You provided everything. You said, "Trust me." What an awesome God you are. And we praise you for the God you are. And Father, it's just a joy to daily learn more and more about you. All of the wonders of this book. All of the wonders from the very beginning of Job 1:1 through Revelation. We praise you, Father. Pray now you'll take the things that we've seen, let them settle in our souls and bear fruit in our life. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.